Welcome to Half-Ass Podcast, the place where all of your questions get half-answered. You can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Patreon.
Children.
So that Paul Holes guy, he's got a podcast too.
Yeah.
Him on the podcast, because I was listening, like I was laughing because I'm listening to this podcast to make a podcast. But he said that they were like at each point, like somebody on his podcast, at each point, whenever he upped it was because he was being called out by the media mm-hmm. as like a coward.
Okay.
So that's mm-hmm. that's where I got that from. So okay. I don't know.
I wasn't saying you were wrong.
I just realized that at the bottom of this picture I sent you guys, that it tells you like for the Vasilia ransacker crimes, mm-hmm. it tells you the numbers. I didn't notice that. So there was 125 ransackings, one murder, and one attempted murder.
What year?
So ransacking would be 3 years. Burglarizing with nobody home.
How do you have the time? I barely have time to cook dinner. Said.
Like he was married and he had a full-time job. Like he had 8 hours. And sometimes this was hours and hours away from his house.
Paul Holes said he kind of wrote him off whenever he saw his name first, because he was a full-time police officer. He was married. He wouldn't have the time to do it.
Right. So he was married in 1973, November 1973. Mm-hmm. The Vasilia ransacking crimes began in May of 1973. And they went from May 1973 to January 1976. So that's like not even a full 3 years. Like how? It's like, do you think, so I saw somebody say that they wondered if he did it while he was on his
duty.
Yeah, mm-hmm. on his.
Well, and they did talk to his old boss. Did you guys hear about that? His first boss. And then they were talking to him and they said, was he ever tired at work?
Oh.
Was he ever not on? He said, no, I don't know how he could have done that because he was always at the call. Like, that was our job. You were there to back up someone all the time. So it wasn't like he was like, oh, I had to run home. Like, he was always there.
Mm. Weird.
And then he was never tired. Like, he was always.
I wonder if he was a good police officer. I
wonder if he was on drugs.
Yeah, well, right. Probably. Well, they said that they used to call him Junk Food Joe because he always had candy or a pop in his hand. He never ate. Well, he was like kind of chubby. He wasn't fit. Like they called him Junk Food Joe. So it's kind of.
That's why I'm wondering if he was sampling things from like to stay awake. Like I'm not saying he was on drugs. I'm just saying like there can't be that much sugar or caffeine that's going to keep me up.
No.
So I'm gonna do I want to drive 2 hours and chase this girl that I might not get? Or do I want to go home and sleep? And I'm like, I'll take the sleep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm like, do I really want to cook dinner? Or do I want to go through a drive-thru?
Yeah. I'm too tired to turn on my oven or microwave or something. Yeah.
And Sam, bring me something to eat. I'm too tired to get up.
And he's out here making that's like 2-3 full-time jobs. That's crazy mm-hmm. to me. I can't even fathom.
And he's... Yep. Watching people's houses for a couple of days too.
Like, yeah. He had to
I bet he did that while he was on duty, like casing the places. Maybe not.
If they were
like
closer,
going and opening up doors and stuff. But yeah, if they were in the neighborhood he was living in,
that makes so much sense because
it's not weird for a police. Well, it's kind of weird for a police car to sit on my street. It would definitely unnerve you.
Yeah.
But. I don't know. As long as he wasn't in a marked car, I guess.
But if you saw a regular car on your street in front of a house every night for a week, you'd think, oh, they got a new car. Like, you wouldn't think.
Yeah.
Well, if it's dark also, you're not even going to notice that there's a car.
Exactly.
But I bet he would, sit there to, watch when the lights turned off and stuff. If he was on duty and it was nighttime, mm-hmm. why not? You have to sit somewhere waiting for a call or whatever.
So everybody should get a timer on their lights to go off and on at different hours of day or night to freak people out and mess them up.
We did that whenever we lived at the old house.
Mm-hmm.
We would do that.
That's they actually recommend to put your lights on a timer whenever you go on vacation.
You do it different times.
Yeah, so that, robbers will think that people are home.
We set up our train set and we have a cardboard figure that goes around.
We got nails and tar and feathers.
There's paint cans. So if the door opens,
baby gate. So they run in down the hallway and they trip and they fall over the baby gate.
So this morning,
put that in front of your door, and that way they'll come in and they'll trip and they'll fall, and then you'll be, all right, got my gun now.
I'm probably gonna be tripping mm-hmm. and falling over it too.
Yeah, seriously. This morning, I was watching a documentary. And my wife goes, is that Paul Holes? Like, she's still upstairs. And I was like, how the heck does she
know? How does she know?
She's well, listening to that podcast.
We listened to My Favorite Murder for years now, both of us, Sam and I. And then Karen Kilgareth, one of the podcasters on there.
Documentary a little
she,
bit.
She was, like, in the beginning of it, like, she was friends with
Michelle,
believe. And then she was talking about her book, and then she was, I guess she saw Paul Holes on a show or something. She was like, he's so hot. Like, she was talking about it. And she's like, oh, so then there was like a whole subsection of people that listened to the show called Hot for Holes, hashtag Hot for Holes. So that's Paul Holes. So, and I'm like, dude, listen, at my age, nobody, I'm not attracted to anybody, so I really doubt it. And then they kept talking, and when I saw him, I'm like, damn. But I don't know if it's because of he was very matter of fact. Like, he knew what he was talking about. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
When someone's really well-spoken.
I really liked him.
Sure. Yeah, that's what it is.
And my reason was, like, in my opinion, he's the one that cracked this open.
He did a job.
Like, he did not take credit for it once. In the interview I watched with him, which was like 30 minutes long, he did not once say, I did this. Well, right. I mean, he would say, like, I found these files, but
he said that it was him and there was a whole group of different police officers.
He named so
involved.
Many people. Yep. Like, anytime there was somebody that, like, he said the woman's name that first brought up D'Angelo's name.
Oh.
He was like, it was her that, like, he could have said,
man,
because it was somebody that was working for him.
The interview I saw with them, which was on YouTube, and I think it was from Australia, he was just like, yeah, I did this. I figured this out.
I did it, mate.
Well, no, you
maybe he was just kidding around. Maybe then they cut it there and they made it seem like he said that, but he was just saying, I'm not going to say, like, yeah, I did it.
Well, no, he said that he figured out, he was the one that thought about, like, the ancestry.
Well, he said that he went to Barbara Ray Venter, who was a genealogist and scientist, and they, like...
But he, like,
did this together. They collaborated.
There's, like, recorded conversations of Michelle McNamara talking to him, being like, so, you know, me and my husband just had the 23andMe. Do you think we could take the DNA? Yeah, and then run it and, like, make it, like, it was her idea to make the,
Did he know that she said that, or was this just...
He was working with her.
Oh.
They were like, all friends. So it's, like...
Yeah.
I don't know if it was just because it was in Australia and he was just trying to, like... Like, maybe make it easier to understand, or, like, not
I
saying
no because they speak English. So yeah, like, what do you not understand? But I'm like, I PJ, maybe he didn't mean to come off like that, and then afterwards, now he says it was me and a team because he realized he said that. Maybe.
Oh, maybe.
And he didn't mean to come off like that.
Yeah, because, like, the media does kind of like skew things too.
Yeah. So he definitely now I've heard him say that it wasn't him. Like, it was like a whole bunch of them that.
This was a very recent.
That makes sense.
I mean, the whole thing happened recently.
He was arrested in 2018.
Wow.
So me over here with no notes. I just have a picture. I did so good.
You did good. And we are an hour in. We've gotten nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I still haven't even said, like, what happened whenever there was a spouse there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like we've gotten through the Vasilia ransacking.
There's so much.
So whenever there was somebody else at the house, he, I believe you said, he would get to them as quickly as possible, which is also what the Night Stalker did.
Mm-hmm.
The Night Stalker, it was like 13 seconds from when he was outside till he had you.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's like a cat. That's like a cat, like, pouncing.
Yeah, but I think that's exactly what it was like. I think Richard Ramirez,
right, that's, like, that's stalked. What I meant by Night Stalker.
Night Stalker. I think he just pounced. It wasn't like he didn't do, like, weeks of research, watching when they're turned on and off lights, like, I don't think, which could be the reason why he got caught faster than this guy did. I don't know.
Yeah, he was so methodical about everything.
But anyway, so he would get into the house and he would have the wife, so he had the flashlight still, and he had it on the guy's face, I guess, which would kill their night vision. They wouldn't be able to see anything.
Right, you're
gonna
see spots for a while. Yeah.
And he would have the wife tie his arms behind his back.
Tie up the husband, yeah.
And then he would take the wife to the kitchen and tie her up. And then get plates and put them on the husband's back. And tell him, if I hear these rattle, I'm going to kill your wife. or I'm going to do something violent and that you don't want to happen. So I was saying before, there was a guy who, he was a 21-year-old and he was just bought a house and moved in with his girlfriend. And he said that he had a gun either under his pillow or wherever it was an arm's reach away. But he had his arms tied and they were so tight, like he couldn't get out of it. And he had the plates on him. So he just basically had to listen to his girlfriend being raped in the next room. And then
he didn't have a choice, yeah.
Like he was like eating and stuff. But luckily, that was only a half hour. That guy's friends came to like pick him up. And they were like pounding on the door, like yelling his name, like, come on out, come on. So that guy, he took off this time. But that's not the case for dozens of other people. Like he would be there for 2 hours to 5 hours or whatever.
Right.
But like that is absolutely terrifying to me. Like I wasn't involved in this at all and I'm scared.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
like you could be Bruce Lee and what are you gonna do? You
can't do anything.
Like you can't fight a gun that's 7 feet away from you.
Right.
There was like a couple that did an interview and the lady was very like, she was pretty open to talk about it. You could tell that she had been through like a lot of therapy and her husband was still kind of, it was still really hard for her husband because like,
they I think it had to be worse on the husband.
Yeah. Because you're
100%.
You're like,
you're there to protect. At least that's how that's how I feel. Yeah. I know you guys are pretty strong women. You don't need a man to protect you, but like that's how we feel. Like it's our job to protect our wives.
And it's kind of it's strange to not be able to at least fight back. Like I think
it's already over. By the time you're awake, it's over. Like you just have to comply.
But like for guys, like it's you can't. You're made helpless, and that is a very strange feeling for guys to have. And then. It's very looked down upon for guys to be like, to show any kind of weakness. And you feel weak because you can't do anything. And then you're weak if you go to therapy. You're weak if you cry. You're weak.
But in reality, you're not weak. Yeah. And nobody would. There's like 2% of the population that would think you will. And they're assholes.
Yeah.
So I have something to say about that. Remind me about that.
But like back in like the 70s, like it was just.
Right.
It's it had been so much harder on the well, I don't want to say that.
It's hard
on everybody.
Yeah, it's hard on everybody.
Yeah. In a different way.
Yeah, because it's something that you're not prepared for. Like, you're not emotionally prepared for at all. Because you think, like, oh, no, I'm just going to be able to protect everybody in this house. And then it's taken away from you. And then the way to heal from that is, like, you really need to go to therapy. But so this couple was interviewing and she was like talking and like he was still really quiet. He didn't like to talk about it. And she was like, yeah, he really helped me through a lot. And you stuck by my side in so many ways that other guys would have definitely walked away. Mm-hmm. But they like, you've been my rock. And so whenever she came back, she was like from being at the police office place and giving her report and everything.
Right.
She came in and she was like, hey, do you want to talk about what happened? And he was like, I know what happened. He's like, I threw your pajamas away. We don't have to talk about it again. We'll just move forward from here. Cause like you're taught to just kind of like shut down or like it didn't happen. And you just act like everything's okay from there.
That might've been the best thing for him.
Yeah.
He's not the only one involved though. Yeah. So.
I think on the opposite side, women need to talk about it to get over it. A lot of things.
Well, she obviously went to therapy.
Yeah.
And has talked a lot about it. And they have definitely, like, they're still together, like, which is really cool.
They seemed like the cutest couple.
Yeah, right?
What couple are you talking about?
I don't know their name. I think they were number, like, 24, I'm pretty sure. I don't know that for certain.
It sucks that they're known by numbers, you know, but I have a list, but they're all the ones that were killed, not...
Yeah, I think it's kind of good that they're known as numbers so instead of like their names. So it's like you're not famous for being
right.
Something
number
bad
24 was raped, not I. Maybe so, you could differentiate. Right.
Yeah, like, I see what you're saying.
Move on a little bit. I don't know.
And, I was thinking,
and like, I wouldn't want somebody to be like call me out in public after seeing the the documentary. That's I would want the
anonymity.
Yeah, that's the word.
I don't think there was a single person that I saw an interview with. That said, the house I live in. Like, they all moved. Sold. Every yeah. one of them was gone. But I was thinking, like...
There was one that then... So, okay.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, that I saw.
No, I know. No, tell it. I have a story from her.
I was thinking, like, if I were the rape victim, I wouldn't want 12 cars coming to my house. Like, police cars. Because I think this would be, like, everybody in the neighborhood knows exactly what just happened to you. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want them to be like, oh, yeah. Every time they have guests come, they're like, that's the house where this happened.
Well, more than likely, it's probably more than a couple of houses on the same block at that point, like after a certain point, you know? So the one girl, she was raped at her parents' house. She was just visiting, and he grabbed her from her car and took her inside. He chained her to a bench or like tied her to a bench and raped her there a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And her mom refused to sell the house. So she was still going to her mom's house to see them for holidays and everything. But she said that whenever there wasn't enough seating, she had to sit on this bench.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, mom.
Yeah, right?
That's ridiculous.
I was like, where? Like,
remember you burn the pajamas, you get rid of the bench.
Yeah, yeah. You burn
it. Well, yeah. These are two different, completely different families, you know?
But still, yeah.
Like, one dealt with it, like, and worked with it. The other one was just like, it didn't happen. You don't talk about it. And there was, like, so many girls, too, in the documentary. Well, not so many, but, like, imagine so many girls that probably weren't even in the documentary that were just, like, they knew that they weren't supposed to talk about it. Or, like, you were just supposed to forget about it and, like, hide it. Blech. I don't like that. I feel like it's way better to just be up front, talk about it, move through it.
I mean, it is, but back then, it was that whole mental thing. Like, you didn't talk about stuff like that.
Right.
You know, they didn't even want to admit it happened, but if you're going to go and admit it happened, then it goes no further than this, you're done. You talked about it for 5 seconds, and you're over it.
It's like they were afraid that they would ruin your name or mm-hmm. your reputation. And stuff like that. Whenever it wasn't the girl's fault.
No, but then there was people
I
like
anybody. I don't know. I feel like everybody's like me. I don't blame a single person for being raped,
right?
Unless you're like flashing them and saying you can't get this, and
right?
Then you're like, well,
and most people don't do that. Either. No,
even then, it's not that person's fault.
It's still not. Yeah.
Impulse control. Yeah. I just thought that to that puppy. You need impulse control.
Yeah,
it's like a necessity.
Mm-hmm.
Although this wasn't really so much like this was a different kind of rapist because it wasn't the rape, it was the fear. He just wanted to. I think
that's the common theme though with rapists.
It's like power and fear, but like he
power.
But the raping part wasn't like.
He obviously liked it, or he wouldn't probably have done it. But
in one of the victim things, like the victim impact reports, they told they called him out for having a small peen.
There were so many of them that said that. Yeah, it was like that was. Crazy.
Yeah. I was like, wow, okay. Do you think that they were just trying to be mean or like they're just trying to like
I mean, I don't know. Why would that's never come up in any other places cases I've ever heard of. Like
trying to insult him.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean I heard it about this guy, but I don't remember hearing that about it.
The one girl was like, I don't know why you're so mad. I don't know if it's because you have a small penis and mm-hmm. I was like, oh, all right. Get him, girl, mm-hmm. get him. Yeah.
And there were a few that were like that too. Like, I don't know. It's like it was a psychological thing. He may have enjoyed the rapes, but it was more the humiliation and the fear.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
So we got the ransackings, and then the single female rapings, and then we got to whenever he started raping couples, and then
You said that his ex fiance was Bonnie.
Yeah.
But didn't he say that on several rapes he would say, I hate you, Bonnie?
Yeah.
And over again.
Yeah, he would scream it at the girls that he was raping. I hate you, Bonnie. One time one person reported that he was crying, sobbing uncontrollably in the corner and about Bonnie leaving him.
That's bizarre.
Well, I mean
it's like how did you think you're gonna get over Bonnie by raping and killing people? Dude. Go to therapy. Deal with your shit. Don't do, like, I just get so pissed.
At some point,
it's understandable.
I said that I wanted you to remind me or something.
Oh, yeah. You...
So I don't remember what we were talking about, but I remember what it was.
Okay.
They started a town hall meeting where the police would give citizens tips on, like, how to protect their houses.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, putting a screw through the window.
Right.
So that it couldn't be opened unless they got a screwdriver to unscrew it. Mm-hmm. That sort of thing. And, like, locking windows and leaving lights on or whatever. He went to that.
Right.
And there was a guy that stood up and said, I would never let my wife be raped. And 7 months later, he targeted that house.
Yep.
Which
he knew exactly who it was. And,
yeah. I mean, I don't know how that makes me feel, but...
It makes me feel mad. Like, that guy needed to blow off steam. That the homeowner needed to blow off steam by saying... I think he even said, like, who would let their wife be raped? I would never let my wife be raped. So he was almost blaming the husbands. And right. then it was like him saying, ha ha, like, I don't know.
I feel like that guy didn't know what happened.
He absolutely didn't.
Because, like, I feel the same way. Like, I wouldn't let my wife be raped.
Right.
For sure. But these men or whoever they were with,
mm-hmm.
they didn't have a chance. Like.
Right.
To protect their
wife. There was no letting. They weren't like, hey, yeah, here's my wife. You may have her for the night.
And unfortunately, the guy that said that learned a lesson, but
yeah.
I'm sure he didn't mean it that way.
Right.
I hope.
Right. I mean, I hope he didn't. I hope he didn't, but yeah.
In any case.
That just sucks. I mean, they all sucked.
He didn't let his wife get raped either, I'm sure.
He didn't. It just happened, and he happened to be there.
Mm-hmm. But I'm sure that he was targeted because of that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like this, like, I feel like the Houston Rapist, your odds or whatever. I feel like he liked challenges because, like, you get called out about, like, not doing the dog thing, not doing, like, the only attacking small or, like, single women. And mm-hmm. then I didn't even know about that. It's like as soon as you, like, are calling him out or challenging him,
mm-hmm.
he's going to, like, go up to, like, the next step, the next level.
But that just sucks because it was, like, a community watch meeting, like, how do we help each other and how do we protect this from happening, and he's the cop that's supposed to be there to protect them.
Yeah.
And he,
it's so dark.
I don't know if he went as a cop or just as a citizen or what, but
maybe he knew because,
but if you think about it, it's like perfect. It's so it smart.
I keep going back in my head. I know we haven't done this, but we talked about it with Jack the Ripper.
Mm-hmm.
Like
Walter.
Yeah, or I was going to say Henry, but I like that name. No, it's not Henry. but I keep going back to that, like, even back then.
My son's named Jack. Henry's one that we like. It's not number one.
No.
Anyway, continue.
I just feel like it was somebody that was respected back then, just like the police. You just are, like, if there's a man in uniform of any kind, like a priest or a pastor or... A police officer. Attendant.
Michelle called.
Maybe not, but.
Michelle McNamara, she called it.
Yeah?
She was like, I think that he's going to be a middle-aged guy, middle-class guy, that your jaw will drop whenever, like, you would never imagine that he probably has a respectable job,
mm-hmm.
is excellent at flying over the radar. Like, that she was.
It was like, checked all the boxes.
Yeah,
like,
she was. So close, so mm-hmm. incredibly close, and so on point.
Do you guys know, like, because I imagine the FBI was involved, but I don't know that.
Yes, they were. They definitely were.
So, like, they have profile people?
Yeah.
Profile?
Mm-hmm. Profilers, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, profilers. I want to know what do you guys know mm-hmm. what they said this guy would be? Like a man that lived with his mom till he was 30?
No, but I think it's pretty much...
Was she? I feel like Michelle made a profile. Like she.
Well, you just said she did, but yeah. I didn't know if the FBI. She doesn't have training in that. I wouldn't think these people would have FBI people. I'm saying.
I didn't read or hear of any from any FBI people.
Okay.
That I've heard, like, police officers. I've heard different other people, like the victims and the victims' families. I've heard them talk, but I haven't actually heard
the FBI. The one female detective was such a boss. Like she was just.
Is her name Emily?
I think it was Deb.
Okay.
I might be wrong.
There was a police chief, Emily, but I think that's like a modern day one, not
okay.
not a back in the day.
Yeah, she like, whenever, like, at the public watch, she was just like,
she. Oh, was she blonde?
Yeah.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. She, like, helped, like, I think she actually was sexually assaulted at some point in her life too, yeah. Not by the East End rapist, but like.
So, you keep saying East End, East Area.
Why do I do that?
Probably Jack the Ripper. The co-op.
Really, the East End co-op? That's like, I like the food place.
Yeah. Pittsburgh doesn't have an East Area. We have an East End.
Dang it.
I didn't know we had an East End. I knew a West End.
Yeah, we have a... Oh, okay.
I never mind. We're not getting into that. But
Market Square. The Market Square rapist.
I got it.
But she kind of like helped like... what is it? Like she gave these girls kind of like therapy, but not really.
She counseling.
Cooked. Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. And she did like... Didn't she like... They went to her for, like, she did the rape kit.
Yeah, I think so. Like, she. That,
I mean, that's probably best. Gentle. The gentlest way to do that.
Yeah. And not only that, but after being defiled by a guy, like, I wouldn't want, like, want a guy doctor. Guy to
do that.
You know well, exactly not, what you need you know then. Yeah.
Yeah. And she, but in the public watch, I guess, I wonder if this was the same one, but she was like, if somebody breaks into your house and you see this guy, it's a, like, shoot him and do not shoot to hurt him. Shoot to take care of him.
I saw that. I saw this. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I hope you're not aiming at the penis because you're going to miss. Sorry. Sorry, that was a bad joke.
Oh, I got you.
It's so tiny. Tiny target. Sorry.
You got me real good.
Only marksmans.
Dude, that would have been funny. Oh my gosh. Like if they made targets back then that people could buy to practice and it was like genitalia.
It's like
I would have done it. East End rapist training program.
Yep.
They interviewed her after, like I saw like a small little clip of an interview with her after and she was like crying a little bit and she was like, this brought up so many emotions that I had long forgot about because it's so many years and she's just like emotionally... Just so happy.
Once he was caught.
Yeah. Do you think we'll ever get there in this story?
I don't know. And we will get there. It might take like 14 days, but we'll get there.
I don't care if we get there, man. I'm having fun on the ride.
Yep.
It's not about the destination. It's about the journey.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So like this guy's bad, but what was the guy's name that had the Satan's Den trailer?
Oh, the toy box killer?
Oh. Yeah.
I don't like that guy.
This guy scares me more as a man, but that guy, like if I put myself in a woman's shoes, like that's much scarier.
Oh,
to me.
That's what you're saying. Okay.
Because like this guy, for the most part, he didn't kill people for the most part. That guy, he either killed you or sold you into slavery when he was done with you. Well, he did
the drugs that he gave you. There was a lot of memory loss. Like they would forget it and they would think it would. They dreamt this because I know that one girl had nightmares for years and she said she thought that she just. She didn't know it was a memory. She thought it was a nightmare she kept having.
So
that's twisted. But
this guy, I think I think this guy's way... Like, that guy, like, with the trailer, he's scary. But this guy is a freaking monster because of the faces. Yeah,
you can't tell which one's worse. They're both equally monsters.
Yeah, they're just a little different.
But he's just such a good liar. Like the East Area Rapist got it that time.
Thank you. Yeah, you call him Golden State Killer.
Golden State Killer.
Yeah,
he
like that. GSK.
GSK. Oh, no, I don't want to share that.
Uh-uh.
No.
Yeah, good call.
Somebody kill him.
Oh, no. Like, a lot of the women said they want him to live a long life in prison.
Yeah, I hope he gets raped a lot in prison, personally. Like, that... Dude.
Paid to give him a boob job.
But so in back in, like, what, 73, 74 or whatever? Mm-hmm. Like, he was married. And... Oh, wait. Let me pull up the picture again. Because... So, like, we get to the point where he's now raping couples. And then all of a sudden...
Well,
he's...
just the girl. I think.
Oh, he raped the girl.
Oh, raped the girl.
He wasn't spreading love everywhere.
No, I'm just saying, like, he's attacking the couples.
Understood.
Okay.
Yeah. He's attacking the couples,
I knew what you meant. I was saying that for the benefit
that's of... That's true. For the listener.
So then...
Larry Listener. Mm. Used to be Gary, now it's Larry.
So he is the East Area Rapist from June 1976 to July 1979. He is a police officer at the Auburn PD at this time, and he is fired in 1979 for being caught shoplifting big dog deterrent in, I think, rope? No, what was the other thing?
Hammer.
Was it a hammer?
Pretty sure it was a hammer.
Why would you steal a hammer? How do you not have a hammer?
I think he needed a dog
for his... You ransacking houses?
He might have needed to drive some nails at home. Like, not everything he got was for raping.
It was a hammer, though.
That's so weird. Okay.
Stop.
Hammer time. Oh, my
God. That was good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay, so he's fired, and then the attacks still continue up until 1981. So in 1981, his first child is born in Sacramento as well.
Oh, boy or girl?
Girl. He has three little girls, which is kind of like, so.
I was like, somebody trying to tell him something.
But I hope that none of his ancestral trauma goes to those girls, because like.
Oh, it will.
Like, yeah,
unfortunately, I'm sorry about that.
Because it's not...
They're victims as well.
Yeah, they are. Absolutely. They lost a dad. They have, like...
Their kids lost a grandfather.
Right. So, from 1981 until 1986, he falls completely off of the radar. He stops everything. And they were like, well, something...
That we know of. Yeah.
Well, no. So, okay, I got it from the family interviews.
Yeah.
So at this point, like, he stopped raping and killing and ransacking all of it. And they're like, well,
we thank you.
And they were like, well, they didn't really know why. They kept on trying to fill it in. But at that time in 1981, his niece came to live with him. Yeah. And she had been raped. She had tried to take her life. And so
prior to going,
he was surrounded by women. At this time, like,
yeah, he was. So, at least that's what she's claiming. Was right. Like, so from 1981 until 1986, she was living with him. She got married in 1986.
He taught her how to drive a car. Yeah, it was like he did the normal.
He was a dad.
He was being a dad to her at that time.
Yeah, and then in 1986, is whenever Janelle Cruz was killed. Raped and killed.
He wasn't raping that niece the whole time?
No.
Okay, I thought that's where that was going.
So the interview from that niece is crazy. She was like, he's the dad I wish I never had. He was so nice and kind. He was.
I wish I had. Like, she never had a dad beforehand. Oh, so
she...
Well, I think she had a dad, but she was the dad that she wished she had.
Right.
Like, okay. He was like a model father. And like in her letter that she wrote to him whenever he's in jail, she was like, I can't believe that these things that I'm hearing about you, one thing I do know is that you're the best dad. You are a very good dad, or you're a great dad. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, wow. Because there must have been some kind of connection there. Her?
Well, at least he did something good.
Yeah, I mean
it probably is twisting her even more now, though.
Right. Because she's never going to be able to trust what she knows about anybody.
Right. And the thing is that, like, so nobody's 100% evil, nobody's 100% good. Right. We're all a mixture. So, like, good people do bad things, bad people do good things.
So you wanted to hear that he was a jerk to everybody?
Yeah, but
that would make more sense in your head. Too,
yeah.
So, I'm glad he wasn't, but...
Right. For her sake, yeah.
So in May of 1986 is whenever Janelle, right? Yeah, Janelle Cruz was raped and murdered.
I think she was, 18?
I think so. Either like 17 or 18?
17 or 18. She's pretty young, yeah.
Did he go after old people,
gorgeous.
Too?
She's
gorgeous. Nope. Is there any? No.
I don't think so.
I know there was some young ones, but.
I think it was like 12 to 40, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. I did it one.
That's a big range.
Yeah.
That's my range.
But like, so at that point.
That's what I look for.
Liar.
But at that point with Janelle Cruz's murder, his wife is pregnant with his second daughter at 6 months. His second daughter is born in 1986. And then his third daughter is born in 1989.
But during that time, his niece said that she got married and moved out of the house in 86. Right?
Yeah.
Right around the time Janelle got killed, maybe.
So he, like, murdered, like, right after, which is kind of strange. But I say kind of strange, but kind of not. So, like, people usually... Something with... serial killers, if something emotional happens to them, they usually lash out or do something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So to me...
Oh, he did something.
So to me, that kind of like marks that like she got married.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that she doesn't listen to this podcast. She probably won't. I hope.
I think she said that too. Like she put, like afterwards, learning all this stuff, it was like she connected that to the year she got married and moved out.
Yeah, she's thought it in any case.
Yeah.
And then, so from there on... Like his wife leaves him in 1991, and then she's a divorce attorney
And she never divorced
him. And she never divorced him. So, like, so one of the theories is that she probably started to learn things or pick up on things. And if you're married to somebody, you can't testify them against the court.
You don't have to.
Yeah.
I think you can.
It depends on the state you live in, I think.
Oh, okay. It might.
I don't know.
Well, I've heard what she's saying. Mm-hmm. Like, I've heard the same exact thing.
That you can't testify against them.
I think you can testify against them, but you don't have to.
I would, whether they would be accepted or not. I'd be like, excuse me, sir, panel, jury, like, you better listen to me because I have some shit to say.
Yeah, because, like, 1991.
Yeah.
And they're still not divorced to this day.
No, they divorced. She divorced them in, I think it was July of 2018. It was, like, after he was arrested.
Oh.
Then she divorced them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's weird.
But they weren't together anyway. And they said that his niece said that even in the 70s, they had separate bedrooms.
That's like 30 years, isn't it? 18 plus 10.
Why do you think that rule, I'm sorry, continue your thing.
Oh.
No. Why do you think there's a rule that you don't have to or can't testify against your spouse?
I think because they would think that
you're gonna lie
and make it worse than it was so that you could take your revenge out on them, which makes sense.
Yeah.
If you hate that your spouse. Mm. Okay. Or you're gonna maybe make light of things and then say that wasn't as bad as what it was. Your whole thoughts get twisted too, like, did I remember that right? Or, you know. Like,
I don't remember anything ever.
I don't ever either. So nobody can ask me anything because I'd be like, I don't freaking know.
Mm-hmm. It's so nuts that, like, so in this timeline, because like up until 2018, like from the time that he's separated from his wife in 1991, he retires from Save Mart. Like, he started working at Save Mart overnight to end, like, an automotive thing.
Oh, yeah. He did work
on this after he's. Long after he was fired from the police department.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. With that police department, he started working at another police department after that. So he worked there, and then he was fired, and then...
Oh, really?
I believe so.
Yeah. Well, in this chart, it just says DeAngelo's employment history was from 1979 to 1989 is currently unknown. So you probably have more up-to-date information.
I don't even know anymore. There's so many things that I read and heard and listened to and watched and...
But if like him and his wife like separate in 1991, cause she moves out, like she moves to another like area or whatever, it makes you wonder what he did in those years.
Oh, they said that the neighbors would say even long afterwards, like he would come over and they would have screaming matches at each other. And it's like, you're going to take all this rage out on people who didn't do anything to you? I'm surprised that he didn't attack her in any way.
Right.
Well, like, he would have been caught for that.
Yeah, that's true. But also, like...
he knows the husband or the spouse is the one they go after.
That's true, all the time. But also that the fact that, like, they said that little things would set him off. So that could be why she definitely moved out, because little things... the house being a mess or whatever, like when you have three kids and you're going to school or you're working full time, that's always going to be a mess. Like, right. I don't know, but like little things would just make him in a rage, like things that wouldn't have made other people go off.
Huh.
But I hear conflicting things, so I'm not quite sure.
Well, my thing is like in 1991 until 2018, he is separated from his wife and he's got nobody to like, have to like report to you or like have to like
check in with
talk to you, so he's completely free to do whatever he wants at that point.
But he basically went dormant then.
Yeah, or they don't, there's like nothing. So they said that whenever they brought him in for questioning and stuff like that, he for questioning he just stared at a point in the wall and would not talk. Like he wouldn't give them anything. So and then in the court of law, like in his arraignment or whatever, he did the same thing. He would just stare at the wall and then not say anything.
That's a pro tip, like if you ever get questioned by cops.
He's like, how do you, yeah, I guess you can just like not talk, right?
Yeah.
And it's your right not to, yeah.
So like he's, in all of that time, if he had done anything, he's never going to talk about it unless he gets like something personally, like a personal gain out of it, you know.
He had a pretty set MO, so I feel like
he did.
I mean, I guess he could have just stopped going after married couples again.
But... Well, here's the thing, too. Like, he may have relied on his wife's income. And then when she moved out, he couldn't rely on her income, so he had to get a full-time job. Then he was trying to help out with the kids, like raising his daughters, and then his niece moves in or whatever. So it was constantly someone there. So yeah, he might not have had to have anybody to check into, but he had to work an 8-hour job.
Well, he already was.
He already was. But yeah. It was like I think the midnight shift.
Old.
Older. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is a pretty...
He was born in 49, I think, so...
I think raping and murdering is a young man's game.
So he just kind of aged out of it? Like he probably physically couldn't keep up with it?
Couldn't keep up, maybe. Yeah.
They were saying, talking about like how the fences and stuff. They were like, if you had a question to ask him, what would your question be? And one of them was like, did he ever have any injuries that he didn't report? Because like the fences that he would climb and the things mm-hmm. that he would do, you would think that he would have gotten a twisted ankle or got cut. Or was he ever shot at? And one of them, he was shot at. There's a, like in the attempted murder of the one cop, like he like the Golden State Killer puts his arms up and he's like, don't shoot, don't shoot. Don't you see that my hands are raised?
Yeah, I heard that.
And then, so then the cop doesn't shoot. And then he kind of stands down a little bit.
I bet that cop regrets that.
Yeah.
Although he would have gone to jail for murder. Like, guys, you're not allowed to shoot people with their hands up.
Yeah. But he had a gun in his left hand and that he didn't see. So he shot the cop.
He could still shoot him, probably. Yeah. Probably. So I don't know. I don't really know.
So he shot the cop and the cop shot back, I think, at that point. And the way that they got, like, one of the best, like,
drawings
was from a
suspect drawing.
Hypnosis session from that cop and a couple of people in the area. I don't know if they hypnotized the people, but the cop was hypnotized and helped them draw up a sketch. That's and it was so cool. Pretty accurate, or seemed accurate.
You're still not going to think it's a cop, though.
Nope. You're not, because they're like, you're going to think that they're there to serve and protect. Like, a cop's like who you go to, like, whenever a bad guy.
That is what they're there for.
Yeah.
Instead, they just give me tickets for going too fast.
Oh.
Nah, it's been a long time. It's coming back, though. It's coming.
I was like, oh, all right, speed racer over here.
Not yet.
So he lies dormant all those years, and... It's kind of cool that there's so many detectives that are still trying to solve the case or mm-hmm. try to make connections. And
like
then...
I said, that there's
every
reason in the world probably for them to move on to other cases.
I really feel like it was because of Melissa? Michelle. I really think it was because of her popularizing it. I mean, I know that Cold Case or whoever mm-hmm. like is what got her into it, but I really think that it has a lot to do with her as well.
Not giving up, yeah.
Because she saw that, like, the Zodiac Killer got so much like, screenplay. And
she was a little bit bitter about that.
Yeah, because she was like, this guy's done way more carnage than any of these other guys that are getting the spotlight right mm-hmm. now.
And she's right. You know, there was a lot of killers since even doing this podcast, like the Toy Box Killer I never heard of. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God, why don't we ever hear about
I have another
like that?
One.
Like...
That maybe after a little bit we can cover.
Okay.
I need a break.
We definitely need a break.
The Tony Danza Strangler.
Oh, no.
No. But
I don't know why I said that. No idea.
Tony Danza, we love you.
I was going to say Tony Dale first, and then I was like, Tony Danza would be better.
Oh, man.
Tony's a listener. Hi, Tony.
We always love you.
Okay, so after like it gets dormant, Michelle starts to dig into it too. There's still people, still detectives, still working on it. Then I feel like we've gone through a lot of all of that, and then they eventually make this network of people, and they do like a lot of the online sleuthing, which is kind of like the opposite.
What is sleuthing? It sounds like such a dirty word. I hate it.
What?
Sleuthing.
It's detecting. Detective work.
It's researching.
It's such a gross word.
It's researching in like, in a way to kind of like.
It sounds dirty.
Put people away.
It does sound like a weird word.
Yeah, I went over to this girl's house and we sleuthed.
Yeah.
It was gross. That's not really what I think of it as, but I don't know.
I'm never
going
to be able to hear that word again.
That word.
I'm glad it's not just me on that, too, because I didn't like it.
Gross. I'm going to say gross from now on whenever I hear the word sleuth.
Gross.
People be like, what the? Maybe I don't understand what sleuth means.
It's like researching.
Yeah,
it's researching.
That's all.
Disgusting.
I completely lost my train of thought
I'm
there.
I'm sorry. Melissa Online. Was sleuthing about.
Michelle. Yeah.
Why are you stuck on Melissa?
It's not her fault. It's mine. Patton Oswalt's girl.
Yeah. And so then they start...
POG.
Networking and building this group of people. Oh, yeah. So this is like the complete opposite of what the last one that we did like this was. Like with the girl that had passed away in the water barrels at the Cecil Hotel.
Black Dahlia, maybe? Mm.
No.
I mix those two up,
the Cecil
too.
Hotel.
What's her name?
Canadian Asian girl.
Yeah. Oh. But what's her name? I don't remember.
I don't know. But the listeners do. They're yelling it at their dashboards.
Oh my gosh, how
right
did we
now.
Forget? We didn't record that long ago. And you kept saying the wrong word.
Yeah.
For her name.
Oh gosh, it's my fault too.
And anyway,
that was
your fault.
That was on the Daryl Hotel.
Alyssa Lamb.
That's it. I know it's the season.
Alyssa Lamb.
Oh
yes.
Oh
gosh. I said Alyssa. Damn it.
We
why do
fixed
you do that?
It.
Why do you say the wrong name sometimes?
But in those documentaries, they were trying to like shame people for doing like online researching.
Oh, nice.
Thank you.
I went to say the word and I was like, I can't. But they were like trying to get people to stop doing it. And then with this one, it was like them doing all of that work is what really led to the Golden State Killer being found.
I would think that the police would want people to
help,
to like look into things. Maybe not to like harass the Cecil or the mother of the person.
Yeah.
Like definitely don't do that. But if there's information and you have a theory, like why not
put
it on
the message board?
You never
know who's going to connect the dots.
Because like a detective might be like just looking to see. And he's like, oh my gosh, I never thought of. Mm-hmm. It was the butler in the kitchen with the candlestick.
So one of the things, Michelle was, she had this thought about the golden cufflinks, because something else about his MO is he would steal really personal items to people that you couldn't replace.
Like just one. We could take a earring.
Yeah, but that's normal for killers to do, I think. For serial killers to take a trophy.
Yeah. But he would take something super personal. Like if he was just like a thief or like a ransacker or whatever. Like he would want to be taking stuff that he could resell or worth money. But he was stealing stamps. He was stealing stamps?
Yeah. He would steal stamps.
Stamp collector?
Probably using. I think he was using them to, they weren't expensive stamps.
Oh, just regular stamps. That's a weird thing to take.
If you enjoyed the episode, please rate, review, and subscribe. You can also check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.